In the Gilded Age, when the magazine was readying its ascent, cities sounded more like barnyards of the past than metropolises of the future. Hoofbeats punctuated the long avenues of New York, and the light step of a messenger boy was more frequently heard than the ringing of a telephone. But it was nevertheless a time shaped by the advent of the machine, the whir of cable cars, the colonizing force of the railroad, the miracle of wireless telegraphy, even the boisterous new leisure activity made possible by the bicycle. Every facet of life was affected by a new reliance on mechanization and speedy communication that hadn't existed a generation before, opening new channels for the accumulation of money and social control. How could anyone hope to understand this as it was happening? Preachers and politicians did their best, but most people turned to the press. A magazine seems to be a frivolous thing, a way to pass the time in a waiting room or on a commute, a way to take a break from the work of real thinking. But behind each pulp and ink issue lies a gargantuan effort to satisfy the curiosities of an anxious society. Each article represents a claim on the reader's attention, as well as a period of obsession, or at least dutiful fixation, for the writer behind it. In the years before radio, television, and the internet, this meant readers from all walks of life, from the president to the newly literate, turned to the written word to tell them what exactly they were living through and what might come next. The Gilded Age takes its name from an 1873 novel by Mark Twain and journalist Charles Dudley Warner. The two friends, provoked by a dare from their wives, collaborated on a story that satirized what they saw as a mindless, materialistic America around them. But it could have had a third allusion to a sensational yet significant age of journalism and of magazines as a form. Out of a heated, competition-driven surge in print media, the now-vanished McClure's magazine rose up and leveled reportage and entertainment at a growing American readership, coming to embody the emerging art of investigative journalism. With origins in immigrant-packed steerage quarters and the rapidly industrializing Midwest, the strivers who made McClure's brought long-held quests and biases to the task. They, the visionary Samuel Sidney McClure, dauntless Ida Tarbell, dedicated John Phillips, gentle Ray Stannard Baker, idealistic Lincoln Steffens, and dozens of other reporters and novelists in their circle, channeled their vision into print, creating a magazine whose roving interests paralleled the evolving concerns of the society around them. Their lives and loves, as well as their work, were consumed by the magazine's success and dissolution. In the last years of the 19th century and the first decade of the 20th, the frontier vanished, Victorian values were pushed aside, and entrenched political corruption sparked a grassroots reform movement. Railroads extended their reach across the continent, requiring American time zones to be standardized for the first time. Town clocks no longer set their time by the sun or the local almanac, but by the railroad schedule. Electricity lit cities that had previously been dim and smoky with kerosene and whale oil, and telegraphy accelerated the end of the Pony Express. A dentist from Buffalo invented the electric chair, which dispatched its first murderer in early August of 1890. Life was brighter and more efficient, but also fraught with new ways to die. Throughout the Gilded Age and its hopeful successor, the Progressive Era, the United States was deeply divided between progressives and conservatives, stretched by recessions at home and wars abroad, and astonished by advances in speedy new communications technologies. Wealth inequality had never been higher. At the same time, gender roles were being renegotiated, and race relations seemed to have reached a post-slavery crisis point.